Great, big thanks, Dan. Will you join me in thanking Dan? He works in incredible ways, coordinating so much for us with Worship Arts and with Care Impact, and we're so grateful. Thank you, Dan. I invite you to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, we start our brand new series, Who Do You Think You Are? Years ago, two snakes went slithering and hissing together across a grassy field. The one suddenly stopped with a panicked look. The other snake said, "What gives?" The paused snake said, "Quick, tell me, are we poisonous?" "No," the second snake hissed back. We're just humble garden snakes." "Why?" The paused, puzzled snake said, "Oh, wow, I'm relieved. I just bit my upper lip." It's easy to forget who we really are. It's easy to forget our nature, who we really are. We lose sight of our new, growing, transforming nature. We don't always keep a firm grasp, a good handle on our identity. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? So many competing thoughts. Competing thoughts in our heads. You're not strong enough. You're not accepted or included. You're an outsider. No way you can measure up. Clamoring voices echo the hallways in our hearts. What if we learn to think, hear, think a little more, and actually believe from a totally different voice? We've got the opportunity this fall to discover anew who we truly are in Christ. We're living during desperate days, indeed. Days of chaos and fear and confusion. Doubts and anxiety abound and weigh us down. Division and divisive perspectives. I mean, all you need to do is just drive past a few yard signs, either direction on your way to church. Seems like everyone wants to pick a fight. Amidst great uncertainty, it's hard to know who to believe. It's hard to know what to hold on to, especially when it comes to how we think about ourselves and how we think God thinks about us. See, if we think less of ourselves, if we assume God thinks less of us and that he might actually be out to get us, well, we tend to live at a very low, discouraged level. We cave in to downer thinking and despair. We downward spiral into gloomy, sinful, self-indulgent choices. And we live based on old motives and practices. We live far below God's high and holy anticipations for us. And too many of us, way too many of us are living there right now. Filled with second-guessing God's love, we get walloped with high, much too high anxiety levels and less than our best life now style of living. So, here comes our fall series, Who Do You Think You Are? Ephesians 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, Paul is urging us to think more of who you are based on who you are in Christ Jesus. To think more of who you are based on who you are in Christ Jesus. Let's tear into Paul's lead-off words a bit. Paul starts this letter with his own name. Now, this is a typical teaching letter of the day. Often begins like this. You might call it an epistle. You might hear it called that. That's a typical teaching letter. It's a letter with a hearty purpose. An epistle is a letter with a hearty purpose. Paul's writing from prison. first century, approximately Common Era 63. And we learn about the start of the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 19, right after Paul had been in Corinth. Ephesus was within the Roman province of Asia Minor, a leading center in the Roman Empire. Culturally, Ephesus was a real mix made up of both Jews and Greeks, filled with pluralistic religious views, much like our day. It included sorcery, sensual immorality run rampant, and a temple to the Greek goddess Artemis, supposed daughter to Zeus and Leto. And of course, Paul's proclamation of the good news of Jesus, that raised a ruckus in this kind of environment. The word of the Lord spread, and Paul branched out from there beyond Ephesus, helping establish expansion of the good news of the grace, the saving grace of Jesus all across that region. And Paul's letter was most likely shared among the churches throughout that surrounding area. In other words, when it landed in Ephesus, it didn't stay there. It branched out and was shared across the region. Vital to remember as he writes this, Paul's in prison, chained, most likely guarded by a Roman soldier. He was in prison. But that's only part of the truth. See, he's in Christ. That's important to remember for all of us when we find ourselves in deep circumstances, places we wouldn't exactly desire to be, places that feel like we're caged in, places that feel like we're opposed and oppressed. Know that that's only part of the story. When you're in those deep places, it's real, it's reality, but it's not all of reality. See, Paul was in Christ. The same is true for you and for me. When we're in those deep places, when we're in those spots that seem like we're opposed and pressed, well, that's only part of the story because you are in Christ. Back to our lead-off verses, look again at how Paul describes himself. An apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Apostle is something of a sophisticated biblical word that literally means sent one. Sent one, sent on purpose, sent on a mission. Plenty of times my phone rings or a text dings about 4:30 p.m., usually once or twice a week. And it's Nance, and it's pretty predictable. We need rolls for dinner, hun. Or we need such and such a spice to go with dinner. Can you stop at Weiss on your way home, please? Now, I can handle rolls. Spices are beyond my pay grade. Guys, are you with me? Did you ever, like, you get sent on one of these missions and the letters just blur on the little spice cans. And I come back with, like, pumpernickel instead of pumpkin spice. You know, and she's like, this is not it. So I have learned to call her from the store and take pictures of spice cans and she's like, enough already. I could have gone down to Weiss myself. You know? Now, when I get that kind of call or I get that kind of text, what has happened with that call or text? I've become a grocery apostle. I'm sent. I'm sent on a mission. Paul knew Christ Jesus had utterly changed his life trajectory. Acts 9 tells us how Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, a blinding light. Jesus is there, the light of the world. Prior, Paul went by his Hebrew name, Saul. Zealous for his religious traditions, he was a Christian hunter and persecutor of all those who followed Jesus. But the Lord had something else altogether different in mind for Saul, who would become Paul. He called him that day. And he forgave his sins, and he set him on a new road and appointed him as a sent one, sent to other peoples, the Gentiles, sent with the message of grace, the message of new kingdom, new life, new light, the message of Jesus now available to all people. Think more of who you are based on who you are in Christ Jesus. Think more of who you are based on who you are in Christ Jesus. Paul says this happened by the will of God. By the will of God. It was exactly what God wanted. His divine wishes, his powerful plans, his holy delight, his ultimate aims. Paul, an apostle, by the will of God. And we know from Acts 9, plus the mission that Paul fulfilled, that he was sent to spread the good news of grace to the Gentiles, more people, not just the Jews, in more places. And this was global spread to places like Ephesus. And the ripple of Paul's influence would end up reaching across the world and across history, even with a ripple effect to people like you and me today. Think on that. Think on that. Because one man was responsive to the call of God, to the sentness in his own life, it rippled across the continents and into your life and mine across history. Into our lives today. So pause to ponder. There's frequently something exemplary to be gleaned about Paul. Frequently. It's true right here. Do you view yourself as sent? Do you view yourself as sent? Do you wake up in the morning thinking about it and pondering, to whom am I sent today? Where am I sent? To whom am I sent? Who do you think you are? Think you're just here to live it up? Live for yourself? Does your life have real significance, true purpose, a bigger cause, a motivation other than just trying to survive? Okay. No doubt about it. Survival is good right now. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm just glad I'm surviving. That's good. Some of you are at a new, fresh point where you're daring to say, no, I'm moving beyond survive now. I'm here to thrive. Okay. Thrival is good as well. Making a living is great. How about living for something even more? Something even more. How about living in every step of your day and all the places you go? How about living based on your divine purpose? Such purpose and mission and motivation comes through Jesus Christ and his saving grace. It comes through his call. It comes through that sense of sentness. He came to this earth, Jesus, the ultimate sent one. Sent by his Father, and he gave his life, his body and blood, and died on the cross to pay the price for your sins and mine. He was buried and then was raised again on the third day, and King Jesus makes it possible for us to know forgiveness of our sins. When we, by faith, trust in what he's done for us, we come to know not only that forgiveness of our sins, but new purpose, because we're sent on a mission. In all we do, in all we say, every step of the way, every day, we're sent people based on God's desire for us. Think more of who you are. Think more of who you are based on who you are in Christ. Notice the second half of verse 1 and then verse 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's. That means special possession. Belonging in the family, in the tribe. I mean, at the core of every one of us, what? You long to belong. We long to belong. God's. Holy people. Holy people. That means unique. Set apart for his divine purposes. Holy people. Unique. Set apart for his divine purposes. Faithful. believing, truly trusting, faith-filled, and getting more and more filled up in trust and faith, consistently walking in love-based faith. Chris Wright says this of faithfulness. Faithfulness means you know what you really believe, whom you really love, and what you are ultimately committed to. Faithfulness means being sure of what you want to live for and what you're willing to die for. It's a powerful take on faithfulness. Back in verse 2, grace. Grace, this is foundational for Paul. Foundational because he realized he was on a collision course with fruitless living and with disastrous a destiny in hell. He realized that in his own life, and he met Christ there on the Damascus Road, and he was graced. It's God's kindness. It's God's favor. It's lavish kindness. It's lavish loving favor that none of us on our own deserve. Not a one of us. Not you, not me, not a one of us deserve such lavish kindness. It is all gift. It's all the gift of God. And you can't work your way into it. You can't win enough heavenly brownie points, enough tickets to the Crystal Lake, whatever your grandma or great-grandma might have called it. Yeah, what? You receive that gift by faith. You receive it by a simple deepening trust in who Jesus is and what he did for you. It's grace, his loving, lavish kindness poured out for you and for me. And right out of the gate in this epistle, Paul lets us know it's all about grace. Peace. Peace. This is a unique theme in Ephesians for the Apostle Paul. Calm. Settled in loving relationship. Can this be said of you right now? Calm. Settled in loving relationship. Not at odds or full of animosity and unrest. This applies to your relationship both with God and with everybody around you. For St. Paul, these always go together. What's the condition of your heart and your trigger responses right now? Peace? Or fly off the handle? Or ticked and angry about just about everything and everybody? It's a lot of that right now. It's so essential that we be people of peace, both with God and with others. In chapter 2, Paul camps on peace, stressing how what he calls the dividing wall, the animosity, was torn down between Jew and Gentile. In Christ, we are one and at peace. Do we live like that today? Are you living like that today? Are you living like that today? In your workplace, in your community interaction points, in your opportunities to interact online, are you a peace-filled, peace-growing person? And note the source, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The more connected, linked you are continuing to be with God your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the more peace-filled you will be growing. Crucial to stop and think about all of your interactions day by day. Are they marked by the Father and the Son's peace? Pause to ponder it again. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again and has called you into such new life and sent you on a mission? Who do you think you are? You can know with confidence that you belong to God the Father and you're in the family. You can know you are declared holy, unique, set apart for God's purposes. You can know you are growing in faithfulness. You're growing in consistency in your confident trust and your daily choices. Too many of us live too flaky instead of faithful. Unfortunately, right now, flakiness is becoming more of the norm than faithful. Faithful means you keep trusting Jesus, even when life's circumstances become very tough. You don't say, I did the trial subscription on that Jesus thing. Didn't work for me. I let it expire. No. No. Growth is a process. It's intentional. It's patient. It's deliberate steps we keep taking through great times and desperate times. In fact, those desperate times are usually the best times to grow your faith. You keep connected with other Christ followers when it doesn't go your way. Even when it doesn't go your way, you stick, you stay, you keep connected. You keep making holy practices your regular practice. Hearty prayer. Reading God's word passionately with expectation. Gathering for church services and life group with holy anticipation. We'll meet with God there as we meet with one another. Actively serving out of love, sharing the good news with compassion consistently, encouraging others in their faith. Giving generously out of gratitude for God's generous, loving grace to you. The winds of life have blown in harsh ways against all of us. It's too easy to fall prey to flaky. Paul calls us faithful in Christ Jesus. Are you faithful right now? Are you faithful right now? Great spot to refocus. Realize if you're thinking, oh, come on, John, I can't be faithful anymore. Life's just too hard. If you're thinking that way, that's a lie. That's a lie. It's not an accurate way to think. Who do you think you are? Paul called the Ephesians faithful in Christ Jesus. How about you? Think more of who you are based on who you are in Christ Jesus. Think more of who you are based on who you are in Christ Jesus. See, we too readily think things like this. I'm a burden. I'm damaged goods. I'm a waste of time. I'm stupid. I'm weak. Unlovable. Broken. Less important. A failure. Ugly. Or alone. Now here's what's tricky about it. When these voices haunt the halls of our heads, well, when we see it in somebody else, we readily smell it, don't we? We readily see it, we readily get it, we readily sniff it out, and we go, oh, no, that's stinking thinking. No, how dare you think that way? No way, no. And we readily see it in others, but what? When it happens inside your own head, well, we let it keep rattling around in there. We let it keep echoing the chambers of our hearts and minds, and we entertain it too much. The truth is, this is a list of things you are not. This is a list of things you are not. And the enemy, the evil one who tries to deceive you and whispers these thoughts and comes slinking like the slippery hissing serpent into your thought patterns, he loves to trick you with these kinds of words. God wants you to know who you are in Christ. Loved. Holy, faithful, blessed with grace and peace. See, if we buy the lies on this list and let them control our thinking, then we default toward unfaithful. If you continue to entertain these kinds of thoughts, eventually you just cave in and go, I have no choice but to slink along at a low level, unfaithful and flaky. We end up withdrawing from Jesus and from others. The story is told of a pastor who went to see a man who didn't attend church very faithfully anymore. He had, but he was not linked in this season with other Christ followers. The man was sitting before a fire, watching the warm glow of the coals, and it was a cold winter day, but the coals were red hot, and the fire was warm. The pastor pleaded with the man to be more faithful in meeting with the people of God, but the man didn't seem to be getting the message. He just shook his head, shook his head. And so the pastor took the tongs from beside the fireplace, pulled open the screen, and reached in and began to separate all the coals. And when none of the coals were touching the others, he stood and just watched in silence. In a matter of moments, they were doing nothing but flickering, and then soon all was cold and the fire had gone out. And the man got the message. Nance and I became friends years ago with a wonderful lady. Wonderful lady, and she'd come to faith in Christ, and she had been growing in Jesus, and then life got really, really hard, and she was indeed in one of those seasons teetering on flaky, and we went and we sat with her and shared this very story, and honestly, it was this beautiful turning point in her life. She got reconnected again, and it's been decades now, and right now, she's in another season where life is just super, super, super ugly and hard, but she continues to be faithful. She continues to trust Jesus. So think more of who you are, based on who you are in Christ. Tremendous to stop the flaky thinking. Tremendous to stop the flaky thinking and realize you can be holy and faithful in Christ Jesus. Vital, we realize this is about way more than learning to think happy thoughts. Way more than that. Happy thoughts are nice and helpful, but only to a point. What matters most is how substantive are your thoughts. Are they grounded in who you are in Christ Jesus because of him? Now, right here, this is one of Paul's favorite themes, in Christ. In fact, it's packed into these opening 14 verses. You can see it all over. In Christ, in him, in Christ, in him, in Christ. What's Paul saying? Here's your new realm for living. Here's your new realm. Here's your new house. Here's your holy home. This is your holy planet now. You're in Christ. And he explodes this idea all across Ephesians, especially in these opening 14 verses. Let's talk about how to maximize this series for just a couple minutes. Because as you leave today, I'd like to encourage you to maximize it. Here's the first way to maximize it. Focus on training in your thinking. Focus on training in your thinking. The battle in your mind. Your biggest battles are won or lost in your heart and mind. Your biggest battles. Now, you know this to be true in all kinds of realms, right? I'm training to run in a race, and I was out running yesterday morning with a friend, and we went down to run on the Turkey Hill Trail. How many of you have been on the Turkey Hill Trail? To run, to walk, to bike, something like that. Okay. So we take off, and we're running, and I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. Headed down the trail. This is beautiful. My friend calls out our time, and I'm like, yeah, woo, yeah, this is great. Did you notice I said the word down the trail? And then I look to the other side of the trail, and we're like 2 or 3 miles in, and we're still going down the trail. And I didn't say anything to my buddy Chris about it, but immediately what happens in my mind, I'm like, oh, I got to come back up the trail. Well, we survived it, praise God, and turned in a good time for the morning. It was really great. But what was going on? It was mostly up here. Now, later in the day yesterday, the whole body hurt like crazy. But, you know, it was that moment, it was mostly up here. Focus on training in your thinking. I'm going to urge you to read all of Ephesians this week. Yeah, all 6 chapters. You can. You could read a chapter a day. You might several different times read it all in one sitting and just soak it up. Let it get all over your heart and mind. Let it start the work of training in greater ways in your thinking. Typical of Paul's letters, it's important for you to know. The first half is teaching. The second half is app. Yeah, if it was today, he'd load up the second half on your phone. The first half is rich, deep, deep concepts of who Jesus is and what he's done and the deep implications in terms of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and the work of grace. I mean, it's thick, it's rich, it's deep. And then there's this pivot point at the end of chapter 3. And then in chapters 4 through 6, it's application. Watch for it. So read repeatedly and pause to ponder two ways. How do I think new? How do I act new? If you come to Ephesians this fall and just keep asking those two questions, how do I think new? How do I act new? How do I believe different? How do I behave different? It'll be transformative, transformative for each of us. Ephesians 4, 22 and 23, out there in the app material, he says it this way, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. We too quickly succumb to that stinking thinking. There was this spot for me this past week when honestly I felt rejection in a certain area. Felt rejected. And it was severe enough that for a while my whole outlook tanked. And it took a while, and it's something I'm still working out in my heart and mind. Next, watch for key words and phrases. Watch for key words and phrases. Here's what to watch for. Christ, in him. In Christ, in him. That great big in Christ, in him theme that Paul loves. Grace and love. Grace and love. Watch for those terms repeated all over the letter. Life and live. Life and live. Faith and faithful. Faith and faithful. Pray and prayer. Ephesians is a great big explosion of what it means to pray in greater ways. Pray and prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ephesians is an incredible, rich, scrumptious treat to Trinitarian understanding of who God is and what he thinks of us and how he's working. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Unity. One. Unity. And one. It's an incredibly timely word right now, incredible timely word. And power and strength, power and strength. Paul is so convinced that there's power and strength beyond our normal way of living that's available to us in Christ. Power and strength. I want to urge you, if you're going to maximize this series, read for technical learning. Yes, do that. Read for technical learning, but read reflectively for inspiration and action. Make sure you're reading to learn, yes, but have an action bias. My friend Dustin posted this week. Love what Dustin said. What is important is that we make sure to work together, that we understand our strength comes from unity and not division. We have work to do. It's a great action orientation. Next week, we're going to look at verse 3. Next week, we'll look at verse 3. And we'll see how we are so blessed. And we're going to finish our day today just letting the blessing of God start to soak into our souls as we move into this week. We have this opportunity to think more of who we are based on who we are in Christ Jesus. Who you are. Who do you think you are? In the middle of Ephesians, that pivot point I referenced a few moments ago, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 is a powerful prayer. It's a bridge to the app. Let's stand and hear the prayer. I'm going to invite you to stand. Let these words from St. Paul, this prayer, wash over your heart and mind right now. Paul prays like this. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.